I want to speak this morning on expressing our love, how we express our love, and the various ways that we today in our world express love to one another, because we are commanded by the Bible, by Jesus, to love one another. Just a couple days ago, we observed Valentine's Day, where we express our love in many different ways. We buy chocolates, we buy flowers, we buy cards. Maybe we'll take someone special or our spouses out to eat or spend time with them, showing our love to them and doing whatever is pleasing for them. Now, ladies, understand, this is a very painful day for a lot of men. A lot of men don't realize what it is until they've been at work all day, and then in a frenzy they head for the nearest store on their way home from work, hopefully that you will not understand that they forgot about it until the last minute. And then ultimately, as they go in the doors of the store, they realize that the shelves have been cleaned by men all day long, and the flowers that they have left are all wilted. And in a frenzy, in the last moments before they come home, they try and find chocolates or flowers or a way to show that they still love you. Men are from Mars. There's just no doubt about it. They just have trouble expressing their love. Women, on the other hand, they're from a different place where they have no problem sharing their feelings, talking about love, sharing what's pleasing to them, and maybe cooking a meal for their husband if that's what pleases them, or maybe in the case of women, they would prepare breakfast for their husbands, but the husbands, on the other hand, would not do something like that, and they wouldn't understand that the women don't want bacon and eggs cooked in a cast iron fry pan. They want to be taken to Panera Bread, or maybe to Perkins, or maybe to Denny's for breakfast. You get what I'm trying to say. We express our love in a lot of different ways, and sometimes it's very hard for us to do that. As I thought about this on Friday a little bit, I was pondering, how do I show my love for God to God? How do I show God my love for Him? And in order to come up with an answer, first of all, I have to know what it is that pleases God. Because, frankly, if we don't know what pleases someone, how are we going to know how to express our love for them? We want to do what pleases them, because it expresses our love in special ways. In the Old Testament, we talk about what pleases God. We find out what pleases God. One of the first places it's mentioned is in Ezra chapter 6, when the exiles had returned, or were returning from Babylonian exile. And the king at that time, Darius, I believe it was, King Darius, issued an oracle or an order that searched the archives, and they found in the treasury of Babylon a scroll with a memorandum that was written on it by King Cyrus, who had released the Jews from captivity, that they were to be set free, they were to go back, and they were to rebuild the temple and start the sacrifices again. And King Darius said that these people were supposed to go back, and his own people were supposed to go with them and supply whatever they needed, including whatever's needed, young bulls, rams, and male lambs for burnt offerings to the God of heaven, and wheat, salt, wine, and oil, as requested by the priests in Jerusalem, must be given them daily without fail, so that they may offer sacrifices pleasing to the God of heaven. So in the Old Testament, we read that what pleases God was the sacrifices, you see, to God. You read all throughout the Bible that the sacrifices were a pleasing aroma, or aroma pleasing to God. In other words, they were sent up to God, and as symbolically they reached God, they were something that pleased Him, like aromatherapy does when you smell something that's very pleasing to your mind and to your soul. We read about the sacrifices all throughout the Old Testament and how they were pleasing to God, and participating in those sacrifices was pleasing to God. And in general, in the Old Testament, What was pleasing to God was to love the Lord, walk in his ways, keep his commandments, to cleave to him or to cling or be faithful to him, to serve him with heart, soul, mind, and strength. The psalmist in Psalm 40 says, sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but my ears you have pierced. And we were talking about this in Bible study the other night. In other words, what David is saying is that God doesn't really, what pleases him is not the actual sacrifice and the offering, but our obedience. Because the piercing of the ear was done to the slave, meaning the slave was owned by the owner and that the slave was obedient to the owner. He says, sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but my ears you have pierced. In other words, what God desires is to be obedient to God, to love him, walk in his ways, keep his commandments, cling to him, and serve him. When we come to the New Testament, we read about the things that please God. In Romans chapter 12, Paul says, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. In other words, we're to offer our lives, sacrificing, giving up maybe things that we would rather be doing or things that we love to please God, giving up maybe one lifestyle to take on another for the glory of God, presenting our bodies as a living sacrifice. He wrote to the Romans in chapter 14, the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking. It's not a matter of the laws. The kingdom of God was not a matter of obeying the law to the T, but it was of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. In other words, we are to be more concerned. The kingdom of God is being more concerned with righteousness, peace, and joy through the Holy Spirit that lives in us. Because he says anyone who serves Christ in this way is pleasing to God and approved by men. So we learn that it's through the Holy Spirit working in the believer that God is pleased. You see, and sometimes we just dot the I's and cross the T's and we go to church and we go home and think, wow, phew, now I got that all done with. God's pleased with me. Now I can get on with my life. And that's not what Paul says. Paul says it's through the Holy Spirit working in the believer, working out our salvation, working for peace and joy that really pleases God. He wrote to the Ephesians and to the Colossians that it's bearing fruit, bearing spiritual fruit that's pleasing to God. The fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable to the Lord. He said, since the day we heard about you, talking to the Colossians, we've not stopped praying for you that God would fill you with the knowledge of his will through all spiritual wisdom. And we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God. Bearing fruit and growing. Something that continuously happens in the life of a believer as the Holy Spirit works in us. Bearing fruit and growing in the knowledge of God. These things please God and are pleasing to him. As Paul wrote to the Thessalonians, he reminded them that God knows our motives and what we do. That we shouldn't just do things out of obligation or just like I said, shouldn't do them to dot our I's and cross our T's. But our motives have to be proper because if our motives are not proper, then what we're doing is not pleasing to God. He says we're not trying to please men, we're trying to please God who tests our hearts. You know, we never use flattery, nor did we put a mask on to cover up greed. God's our witness. We appeal and what we do does not spring from error or impure motives. We're not trying to trick you, you see, in sharing the gospel with them. In 1 Timothy, it tells us that what pleases God and makes him happy is taking care of those in need. He said to Timothy, give proper recognition to those widows who are really in need. But if the widow has children or grandchildren, these should learn, first of all, to put their religion into practice by caring for their own family and so repaying their parents and grandparents, for this is pleasing to God. This is a biblical mandate that it's up to the children and the grandchildren to take care of their parents because this pleases God when they do. As he wrote again to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 2, he says that prayers and lifestyle are pleasing to God. I urge, first of all, that requests, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for everyone, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness. This is good, and it pleases God, our Savior. In Hebrews, the writer implies that God equips us to do what's pleasing to Him. May the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, equip you with every good for doing His will, and may He work in us what is pleasing to Him through Jesus Christ. Now I want you to think about that. May He work in us what is pleasing to Him through Jesus Christ. How does He do that? By equipping us. He equips us to use our spiritual gifts, our abilities, and our resources through Jesus Christ. Without Jesus Christ in our hearts and the Holy Spirit bearing witness with our spirit, you see, our motives are wrong and our work is not pleasing to God. And this is the case with our world today in a lot of situations. The people who are not Christians, who have not accepted Christ as Lord and Savior, in whom the Holy Spirit does not dwell, are maybe doing things that ultimately are good, but they're not pleasing to God. Because it's through the Holy Spirit and the work of Christ, doing them through Christ, that we please God for the glory of God. Solomon, writing Ecclesiastes, says, "A man can do nothing better than to eat and drink and find satisfaction in his work. For without God, who can eat or find enjoyment? To the man who pleases Him, God gives wisdom, knowledge, and happiness. But to the sinner, He gives the task of gathering and storing up wealth to hand it over to the one who does please God. A man can do nothing better than to eat and drink and find satisfaction in his work." I want to stop there. There's a sermon in itself. We can do nothing better than to eat, drink, and find satisfaction. I see people who are working day and night, 7 days a week, because they're not satisfied with their lives. They're trying to make things better, trying to store up more money, more things, more goods, thinking that life's going to be better, and it never does get better. And in the end, they finally die, and they hand over what they worked so hard for to somebody else that maybe didn't work so hard, but simply find satisfaction in living everyday life. So, all that in mind, all of these things please God and shows our love for God to God. They are simply our roses and chocolates for God, so to speak. The sacrifices, helping others, sharing what we have, praying through our lifestyle with the proper motives through the Holy Spirit working in us. But in our text today in 1 John, he's talking about our relation to our position, righteousness and brotherly love. In verse 16 of chapter 3 in 1 John, the writer says, this is how we know what love is. First of all, this is how we know what love is. Anybody says, well, we can't know. There are tons of scripture readings that says we know. We can know. This is how we know. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down His life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. This is true love. Laying down our lives. Sacrificial love. If anyone has material possessions and sees his brother in need but has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in him? Wow. Sacrificial love. Dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth. This is how we know what love is. Sacrificial love. Sharing with others. Giving up our lives for the good of others. Not just with our words, but with actions and truth. He goes on to say, this then is how we know that we belong to that truth. This is how we know that we belong to the truth and how we set our hearts at rest in His presence whenever our hearts condemn us. And see, here's the key. Do our hearts condemn us or do our hearts not? We have to listen to our hearts sometime because the Holy Spirit bears witness with our spirit, and you'll know inside if you're really listening if what you're doing is pleasing to God or not. You see, he says God is greater than our hearts, and he knows everything. He knows our motives. If our hearts do not condemn us, then we have confidence before God, and we receive from him anything we ask, because we obey his commands and do what pleases him. You see, doing what pleases God and obeying his commands brings peace to us. And we know that we're pleasing God, no matter how big or small what we're doing might be. And he says, if our hearts don't condemn us, we have confidence. And we receive what we ask because we obey his commands and do what pleases him. And this is the command. This is what pleases God. We say, how do I know what pleases God? Here's what pleases God: to believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as he commanded us. That sounds pretty simple. To believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as he commanded. Those who obey his commands live in him and he in them. And this is how we know that he lives in us. We know it by the Spirit he gave us. The Spirit tells us. We believe in Jesus and we love one another. So as I said, well, how do I show my love to God? How do I show my love for God to God? First of all, I believe in Jesus, his Son. That sounds easy, but it's not for a large percentage of our world today. Because they've turned from Christ, they turn away from him, they reject him as God's only Son and the Savior of the world. Can they please God in all the other things that they do? The Bible says no. Ultimately, the whole thing begins with believing in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ. From there then, as he loved us, this is how we know what love is, and that Jesus laid down his life for us. In Jesus Christ, as the Holy Spirit works in us, how can I show my love for God to God? By loving others around me the way Jesus loves me. Not because I'm good, not because I'm perfect, but because he chose to love me and show his love to me as an expression of his grace and his ultimate power and love. Now that's hard. That's hard sometimes, isn't it, to love one another as Christ loved us? What's the best way to please God, to show our love for God to God, is believe in Jesus and love like Jesus. And that's tough sometimes. But he commands us to love others. In John 13:34, Jesus said, a new command I give you: love one another. As I've loved you, so you must love one another. By this all men will know that you're my disciples, if you love one another. You see? How do I show my love for God to God? Well, I have to love everybody like Jesus loved me and loves me day by day. Because when I do that, it expresses the love of God through Christ to others. And it pleases God. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 12, in regards to what I've been teaching you, Jesus said, in everything do to others what you would have them do to you, for this sums up the law and the prophets. You want to please God by doing the law? Doing all that the law commands, dotting the I's and crossing the T's? Jesus said, no, and everything do to others what you would have them do for you, because that sums up the law and the prophets. Later in Matthew chapter 22, as Jesus was teaching again, he was talking to the Pharisees, One of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question: "Teacher, what's the greatest commandment in the law?" It's like the rich young man that said, "What do I have to do to inherit eternal life? What do I have to do? I want to dot the I's and cross the T's. I'm going to go to church on Sunday morning because that pleases God." And Jesus said, "No. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second's like this: love your neighbor as yourself. Because all the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments." You see, it's not about the law, it's about our lifestyle. It's about our love for others. It's about living like Christ and doing what's pleasing to God through the Christ and the Holy Spirit living inside us. As I thought about this, I asked myself, what are the fragrant offerings, the pleasing aroma? What are the sacrifices? What are the prayers? What's the lifestyle? What's the roses and chocolate for God that I offer to show my love for God, to God? And you know, that's quite a journey to go on, to ask myself that. So we sit and ponder, how do I show God that I love him? What do I do? What do I say? How do I act that really shows God that I love him? Charles Haddon Spurgeon, the great Baptist preacher, and I say that with emphasis, the great Baptist preacher, has a wonderful devotional. It's called Morning and Evening. And yesterday's devotion in Morning and Evening happened to be about showing love to God. Spurgeon says there are many things, first of all, to rest in God, to find rest in God, to rest in God when we're in trouble, when we're in turmoil. We lay back into the arms of grace of Almighty God and rest in him and find peace. Secondly, to praise him. Do we go through our days of life in our workplaces, in our schools, even in our churches without even praising God and sharing what God has done for us? Maybe singing a song of praise. We do so by our gifts to him. Our time, our talents, our substance. And this is not for the value of those things, but because of our motives of thanksgiving to God. I want to spend more time with God. I want to offer more of what I have to others around me. You see. And that, like frankincense and myrrh, pleasing aroma, forgive our enemies. Spurgeon says, forgive our enemies, distribute our substance to the poor, and lastly, proclaim the gospel. Proclaim the gospel. You know, if the command is what pleases God is to believe in his son, Jesus Christ, shouldn't we want to tell other people that? If you really want to please God, then first of all, believe in his son, Jesus. And secondly, love everyone as Jesus has loved us. That's our Christian struggle. But you know, rather than just doing it one day a year, we are supposed to do it every single day. And though we often don't do it, we forget to buy the roses, we forget to buy the chocolate, or maybe we offer to God wilted flowers or milk chocolate rather than dark chocolate, as some would rather. And some say, well, it's our intentions that count. You know the saying, the road to hell is paved with good intentions. God desires that we believe in Jesus, and God desires that we tell others about him and tell others about the gospel, that these are pleasing to God and they show our love for God to God. But we struggle together, don't we? Day by day, we struggle in that. Lord, help us to be like Jesus. Let's pray.